So we appreciate the privilege and opportunity this morning. We're glad to see each and every one of you here in the house of the Lord today. We just pray that you'll pray for the remainder of the service. I appreciate the program. They normally come up with a good one. And this year's no surprise. We appreciate them. Appreciate all of them had a part in that of the service this morning. We're going to read some scripture to you. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what we'll do. Something to you. If you don't read with us, we believe it's going to be the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. You pray for us for just a minute. Now, I don't know, and I really don't. I don't know what we'll do. But we're going to read you this scripture. We're going to start with the first verse. It says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistine. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitudes. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned into the way that landed to Ophrah, unto the land of Shu'el. And another company turned the way to Beth-Oran, and another company turned into the way of the border that looketh in the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears." But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter, his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading the entire chapter of the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. May be familiar scripture to some of you, may not be to some of you, but nonetheless, it's what the Word says. Now, I just want to leave something with you this morning. I thought as was putting on the program there of each part that had took place, and they They asked a question over here. Did it really matter? And yes, it does matter. We put on a program like this, and I'm thankful we do. But we put on this program because there was a day when Jesus came into this world, when he was born of a virgin. Her name was Mary. And Mary and Joseph, as far as living and as far as raising, they raised this young man by the name of Jesus. But Jesus came for a specific purpose. And he did. He came to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm not going to get into all that. I appreciate the program. And it's real. You don't have to convince me. It's real. There's people, even in that day, that did not recognize the Savior. Did not recognize him as the Savior. Now, I'm going to preach this morning, Lord help me, just a little bit about Saul and hopefully a few others, if the Lord would help me. Now, I'm going to try my best to do that I feel the Lord's laid on my heart. Now, I want you to know this morning that it applies to me and you today. You can take circumstances out of the Word of God and you can turn it around and say, well, that was years ago and that was for then and there's nothing for us now. And the truth of it is, you'd miss a lot. You'd miss a lot if you didn't recognize that the Holy Bible is exactly what God's left with me and you today. He has. It's a rule. It is. It's something to go by. It's something to rule by. There's things in our hearts today that we cannot fix, but Jesus can. This scripture, this little program this morning has pointed to one thing, and that's Jesus. The Bible says here, in the days of Saul, and Saul was the first king of the children of Israel. And he started out on a rough side. He started out, I read to you that he was 1 year into it, and he was starting his second year. And here he was in his second year of kingship, and brethren, God had already rejected him as being king. Why is that? I want you to know that there are some things, brethren, in today's life that are sanctioned, and there are some things that are not sanctioned. There are some things that are authorized, and there are some things that are unauthorized. And brethren, there's people today that are operating in an unauthorized condition. In a place, my friend, that God is not pleased with. Nor has God said anything to you about doing certain things. The Bible says here, and I read it to you, and I'm going to leave it. Will you? I don't think I'd be too long this morning. You can handle just a little bit of preaching. But nonetheless, my friend, you're operating in an unauthorized position. You're operating in a place, brethren, that God wants to save you. He wants to help you. But you are continually forcing yourself to live like you do. Now, you might get mad at me, but I'm just this away. It's, my friend, it's pretty plain today
brethren, that things are out of control. And the truth of it is we've got out of control with them. Yes, we have. The Bible says here that Saul had called for Samuel, and Samuel told him he'd be there at a certain time. And Samuel got detained and did not show up at the time appointed. And the Bible says that Saul took it upon himself to offer offerings unto God. God didn't accept it. My friend, it wasn't plain. It was not authorized. It was not sanctioned. He should have waited upon that of Samuel. Samuel told him when he got there, he said, "You have done foolishly." In other words, you can't force the work of God today. You can't do it. Brethren, and the truth of it is, you cannot deny this morning, brethren, when God speaks to your heart. You cannot deny it. You know that it's authorized. You know that it's sanctioned. And you know the trouble you're in. Brethren, when God begins to speak to you, there's things today, my friend, that are unsanctioned. There's people living in an unsanctioned opportunity or situation. They're operating, my friend, on the assumption that God's going to have mercy. And I'm going to tell you that God will have mercy, but He has it on them, brethren, that'll call upon His name. Them, thank God, that'll make a, Bible says, come of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You can go into the Scriptures. You can go back. You can go forward, my friend. And there's many situations in the book of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many, many a time that it shows us that man has worked in an unauthorized position. There's things, my friend, I tell you it tears me up sometimes, and I'm just going to be plain, my friend, about it this morning. Brethren, you are your own person. You are your own man. You are your own woman. But I want you to know the Spirit of God get a hold of you. Thank God you'll find out who's in control. Yes, sir. You may not think much, my friend, about the program that's put on this morning, but I got news for you. The Spirit sanctioned it. Yes, sir. It was sanctioned. It was authorized. It was not something that was just put on as a show, folks. Brethren, Jesus is real this morning. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Preacher, you one of them loud mouths, I'm going to be just as calm as I can be. Yes, sir, but I got news for you. Brethren, that Spirit of God gets to moving. Thank God I get to moving with it. Yes, sir. Brethren, you don't have to tell me. These things, my friend, that God sanctions. Yes, sir. What do you mean sanction, preacher? These things that God puts His hand on. These places, you can read in the Bible. There's places, my friend, that God put His name there. And He was proud to be their God. Amen. He'd be proud to be your God. Amen. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you something else. If he become your God, my friend, you'd be proud. You'd be joyous, my friend, that Jesus has come into your life. Quit running around in unsanctioned places. Listen, you don't, these things, my friend, the Bible says, I'm going to go back just a little bit. You go back into the days of Joseph. And Joseph, you begin to read about Joseph. And Joseph's life, my friend, sort of depicts that of Christ. When you think about it, Joseph was a dreamer. He had 10 brothers. And them 10 brothers did not like some of Joseph's dreams. And they called him. He dreamed so much, they called him, "Oh, dreamer." Yes, sir. In the field one day, my friend, they thought among themselves, "We'll get rid of this dreamer. We're going to kill him." Yes, sir. What'd they do to Christ? When he came into this world to save them, Bruce, thank God, they said, "We're going to kill him. We're going to do away with him. We don't like what he's preaching today." I got news for you. Brethren, God loves you. He does. He loves you. Jesus loves you. He does. He's proven his love. He gave his life for it. The brothers of Joseph got together. No, Reuben. Reuben was the oldest. And Reuben said, "We don't do well." Said, "We're not going to kill him." Said, "There's a pit over here. Let's just put him in this pit." And they did. Thinking, my friend, that they was going to take care of the problem. The Bible says after a while, here come a caravan. Brethren of Mishmaelites. I ain't got it right. Ishmaelites. I could see it, couldn't say it. Ishmaelites. You say, "Preacher, you telling us you seen that?" I got news for you. There's more than that in the Word of God if you'll just let it become alive to you. Anyway, the Ishmaelites come by. Bible said they took him up and they sold him. They sold him. Reuben wasn't around. Reuben didn't know what they'd come by, and he'd check the pit and there wasn't nobody in the pit. Joseph wasn't down there no more. "What have you done?" They say, "We sold him. Sold him to that caravan, Ishmaelites." I want to tell you something. They was operating in an unsanctioned position. Was not authorized. Was not sanctioned by God. Now, you might think, "Well, preacher, you'll get over things." There's some things you don't get over. I can prove it to you by the Word of God. Brethren, these men, the Bible said, Reuben, he said, "We got to do something." Reuben was in charge. He is the eldest. "We got to do something." And they took his coat. They had his coat there, and he's bring it, and they killed the lamb. They put blood all over it. They go back home, my friend, and they get to Jacob, and they showed him, said, "Is this your son's coat?" He said, "Yes." Listen to me, my friend, it broke the heart of Jacob. It most certainly did. It broke his heart. But the truth of it is, in the reality of things, God had his hand on them. God had his hand in the picture. He was fixing to sanction the unsanctioned deed. Yes, sir. You don't think God can straighten things out? You don't think the Lord, my friend, can take care of things? Them men meant to get rid of Joseph. We've sold him. We won't never, ever see him again. Listen, you let unsanctioned things happen in your life and they'll haunt you all your lifetime. Amen. Yes, they will. You say, preacher, I'll get forgiveness of them. And I'll tell you, until you do, you ain't going to have no peace. And the truth of it is, when you do get forgiveness, thank God, there's still a remembrance there of what you've done. Amen. Yes, sir. And a lot of times there's scars and there's things in people's lives, brethren, that you just never get rid of. Don't operate in unsanctioned fields. It ain't worth it. Saul, my friend, lost his kingship because he did not keep the commandment of God. You think it's any different today? Do you? You think it's any different? Well, preacher, I can handle my life. I got news for you. We got a world full of people handling their lives. Handling their lives. I ought not to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's just me. It's just what I've got. We've got a lot of church members, thank God, that's operating in unsanctioned ground. Yes, sir. Preacher, we've had a good play, and here you're going to burst my bubble. I ain't no idiot. I'm just going to be honest with you. Lord. I'm going to tell you, probably the only time that I'll ever get the chance to preach to some of you.
Bless the Lord.
Probably the only time.
Amen. Bless
preacher, you ought to found you another message. Eh? There ain't no other message. They ain't. There's no need in me worrying. Thank God about whether you agree or disagree. When God gets a hold of your heart, thank God you're going to know it this morning.
Amen.
Yes, you are. It don't take me telling you. But I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes the Lord uses me just to stir you up.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It ain't everybody in the house of God that's living right. Do you know that? Preacher, you ought not to talk like that. I know it for a fact. And the truth of it is, you do too. Joseph's gone. Years passed by. Years. Come a day that there's a famine in the land. And Jacob had heard there's corn in Egypt. There's corn in Egypt. Do you know who was in Egypt? Joseph. Do you know who was in charge of the corn
Amen.
In Egypt?
Amen.
Joseph. Amen. Yes, sir. He was a dreamer. But he is an interpretation of dreams. He is an interpreter. Yes, sir. Pharaoh had a dream. It troubled him. He had every soothsayer. He had every magician and everybody that was in authority. And they could not tell him the dream. The old butler, my friend, he said, I remember my faults this day. He said, there's a man down yonder in the dungeon. Thank God he's a Hebrew. Pharaoh, he can tell you, brethren, the interpretation of the dream. Who was it, preacher? It was Joseph. Joseph, down in the dungeon. I ain't got time to get into all that other, but that's where he is at. Brethren, God got him out of that dungeon. Do you know that? God got him out of it. God moved him. If you was to be put in prison for the right reason, I believe God would get you out. Yeah. Preacher, you believe that? I sure do. He's done it several times. Several times. Old Joseph began to tell Pharaoh about his dream. He said, Pharaoh, he said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty. Bursting out the seam, so to speak. He said, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. No, Pharaoh's a pretty smart man. He said, we need to store up in these 7 years. We need to store it up. They did. Pharaoh said, there's not a man that I'd put in charge of this except for you, Joseph. He put Joseph in charge. Listen, sanctioned. Authorized. Man in a strange land, brethren. And God took him and put him above every man except Pharaoh. Yeah. Bible said he had charge, in charge of everything in Egypt except Pharaoh's house. That was it. Joseph put that up. 7 years, that famine come around, Jacob sent his boys down there to Egypt. When they got down there to Egypt, my friend, they had to face one man. One man. And that man was the man they sold. One they sent away. But the Lord had a different idea. In the process of time, the Bible says that them men left there that day. You know what they had? They had corn in their pouches. And when they got away a little piece, they started checking the pouches. And they found the money that they paid for the corn. Yes, sir. Bible says after a while they had to have some more corn. They went down there and Joseph knew them. But they didn't know Joseph. And the Bible says that they took... And he told them, he said, you come back. He said, you bring that little brother. You bring that little brother. That dream that Joseph had had, my friend, about the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to this one star. It had old Benjamin in it. And Benjamin wasn't born. Ha! Wasn't born. God's got a way, my friend, of getting our attention. Yes, He does. God loves us this morning. Do you know that? I believe that the Spirit of God is wooing somebody, my friend, to get things right with Him. I appreciate the program. I appreciate what I felt this morning, deep down in my heart. And I know it's not popular in this day and hour to preach like I'm preaching to you, but I've got news for you. God loves you. He loves you. And the truth of it is, sometimes he has to get your attention. It don't take me. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been a few times that I've known without a doubt, my friend, God dealt with men's heart. I run a revival at Dry Tails Creek years ago. And in that revival, we had a few people saved. But there's a man that sat right on the back pew. And he had come all week long. And I know the Lord was dealing with him all week long. And I remember the last night, they normally come around and shake hands with the preacher and his wife. And that man was there and he come around. He just shook my hand. He wouldn't hardly let it go. I know God was dealing with him. He didn't get saved. He left there a lost man. 1 year later, I was preaching in another revival and I got home real late, about 11:30, quarter to 12, something like that. My phone rung. And I picked it up, and you know who it was? It was that man. It was that man. And they began to rehearse about how the Lord had dealt with him all week during that revival. They said, "I want you to know, tonight I got saved." Amen. Glory. It doesn't matter tonight whether you come while I'm preaching or not, brethren, I want you to know that God can change your life. These men didn't think they'd ever meet Joseph again. And Joseph had it in his means, folks. He could have done them men different. He could have been rough. He's a little rough on them, but he wasn't real rough. Sent their money home with them both times. He said, "Don't come back unless you got that younger brother. Don't come back unless you got the younger one with you." And old Reuben and them, Judah began to talk to Jacob. And Jacob said, "Not so." Said, "I've done been robbed of one. Said, I couldn't stand it if I get robbed of another." Huh? I think as Judah wrote, Reuben 1 spoke up and said, "Father," said, "you take my children if I don't bring him back. You take my children." Got down there and Joseph wanted to see that youngest. Yeah. Yes, he did. Folks, can't you imagine? The years that passed on, he hadn't even been born. He turned around, my friend, and here comes Benjamin. And the Bible says that Joseph couldn't contain himself. And he brought them all in and he began to rehearse unto them. He said, "I'm your brother. I'm your brother." Listen, Jesus just wants to come into your heart. He just wants to be just like Joseph revealed himself to the brethren. He wants to reveal himself to you this morning. He does, and he will. He will. Do you know what he has to find? He said in one place, he said, I stand at the door and knock. To any man that hear my voice and open up that door, he says, I will come in I will come in. Well, preacher, I'll get saved one of these days. You can't bank on it. The truth of it is, if God's dealing with your heart, now's the time. This is the opportunity. Preacher, we just come out here to see this program. Well, I'm glad you did. I am. I'm glad you did. I'd like for you to come back more than that. We'd like to see you again. If you ain't got a family church of your own, we'd just love to see you. But I'm going to tell you something. This morning, and this is real, my friend, as I know how to put it. Jesus will come into your life if you will open the door. If you'll open that door, He'll come in and sup with you. He said, I'll sup with Him and He shall sup with me. You'll know it, in other words. You'll know that Jesus has come into your life. Nothing wrong with that. Sanctioned and unsanctioned. Authorized, unauthorized. You can go all the way through the Scripture. I'm not going to this morning. But I'm going to say this. We'll ask them to get a verse of a song. I don't know your heart. The truth of it is, I don't have to know your heart. You know who knows you and where you live? Now, I'm not talking about your address. You do. You do. You say, preacher, these people all around knows me. Ain't got nothing to do with it. You know who you have to live with? Yourself. Yourself. If the Lord's ever dealt with you and you've ever rejected Him, this would be a good day, my friend, just to receive Him. If you'll open that door. If you'll come in. Sanctioned or unsanctioned? Is it authorized or is it unauthorized? There's a lot of folks operating in unauthorized waters. Yes, they are. Unauthorized. Ain't sanctioned by God. Preacher, you one of them believes Jesus? I sure am. You one of them that believes you got to be born again? I sure am. You one of them holy rollers? I sure am. You can call me whatever it is you want to call me. But the real truth, my friend, if Jesus comes into your life, you'll find out that it's real. It's real. Them brethren had no clue they'd ever see Joseph again. And Joseph never done anything to them but right. Jesus Christ came into this world and Pilate himself in the judgment hall, he said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault. I find nothing, my friend, that I can kill him or slay him over. He's done nothing worthy. But the people, you know who the people was? The chief priest and all them hierarchy of Israel. And they said, crucify. Crucify. Do away with him. We don't want him. We don't want to hear him no more. Release unto us Barabbas. And Pilate did exactly what they said. And he hung on a cross. And he gave up the ghost. And they put him in a Joseph's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea. But 3 days, 3 days he come out of there, folks. 3 days he arose. That's where we get justified, is in his resurrection. This is his birth. We're honoring his birth. But it's more important, truthfully, that he arose on the third day. Since then, the Bible says, according to what one writer said, I think it's in the book of John, he said, the law and the prophets were until John. He said, but since then, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and men press into it. It's still being preached. And the truth of it is, if you get there, you'll do some pressing. If he's dealt with your heart this morning, be a good morning to get things right. Let us stand. Sing a verse of some song.